Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the Daily Jungle Clones. Jim Rome here. Let me lay out the show for you today. Pete Carroll and Seahawks GM John Schneider hit the button on the Legion of Boom. The Kansas City Royals did something that has never happened in baseball before. They held an anti-porn seminar for their team. And DeMar DeRozan dropped a coast-to-coast dunk on the Pistons last night that I think Stan Van Gundy is still losing his mind over. New Florida State head football coach Willie Taggart joined me. So did Murray State basketball coach Matt McMahon. And the talk of the NFL scouting combine, former UCF linebacker Shaquem Griffin closed the show with another incredible jungle performance. The Daily Jungle, then, starts right now. Let me start with the Seahawks. It's the end of an era. Not the Ed Hockley era, but the Legion of Boom era. Not Hawk. L-O-B. Buttocks. Buttocks. The news broke yesterday during the program that Michael Bennett had been dealt to the Philadelphia Eagles. And truthfully, even though those reports had been building for a while, when that finally went down, when it became official, it still seemed kind of weird. It seemed kind of bizarre. You knew there would be changes, but you didn't expect them to be so far sweeping. But he is gone. I mean, it's weird. Michael Bennett traded. And a part of me thought, you know, I'm not sure that's official. I don't want to hear about the speculation, allegedly, reportedly. I need to hear it. I need to know that it's buttoned up and it's a real thing. And that happened when I saw Jungle legend and Seahawk fan Duff McKagan tweet, quote, "Thank you, Michael Bennett, a true man of integrity, grit, humor, and brains. Good luck in Philly." It was at that point that I knew it really was over. When Duff McKagan says it's over, it is over. And it is over. Because it's not just Bennett who's on his way out. According to multiple reports, Richard Sherman is going to be released in the coming days. Earl Thomas may or may not come back. Cam Chancellor may or may not be back. Cliff Averill, who was on the program earlier this week, may not be back. They've already gutted the coaching staff. So you can go ahead right now and queue up Boys to Men, because we have come to the end of the road. Except unlike other teams, at other times, the Seahawks knew it was time to let go. It was a great run, but it's over. And like any smart team, they know it. John Schneider and Pete Carroll built a team with guys who were cast off from other teams or overlooked in the draft. They turned it into a monster. It was one of the most intimidating defensive secondaries you're ever going to see. I mean, one dude after another who would lay the lumber. And then they came within a play of winning back-to-back rings. It's a brutal, physical game, and nobody played it more physically than the LOB. I've never seen a secondary quite like that one. Except it is the NFL. Unless you're Bill Belichick and the Pats, the window is not going to stay open very long. And when it closes fast. So often, this is how these eras end. Not with a bang, but rather with a trade for some low draft picks, a few cuts, and then just like that, it's over. I mean, sure, they could have tried to keep it going. They could have tried to patchwork this thing together the way they've attempted to do with their offensive line for several years. And how's that worked out? Swap out one old part or two for a new one. It didn't work out at all on the offensive line. So it wasn't going to work on their entire roster. In other words, this is not a redecoration. This is a renovation, not a quite full demolition, but they're definitely going to take this thing down to the studs, and they're going to redo that open plan kitchen. Let's not get it twisted. They're not done as a team. They're not going to turn into the Browns overnight or even the Dennis Erickson Seahawks, not as long as they still have Russell Wilson, but this run is over. They're going to be a different team because they have to be a different team. The roster was getting older. It was breaking down. And importantly, that division is changing up. The two doormats are no longer walkovers. The Rams are building a bully. The Niners may have something brewing. It's not just the division that's changing either. The NFC is changing. The Seahawks just made the Eagles even stronger by giving them Bennett. The Vikings are building their own bully, and they might add Kirk Cousins. It is a different world, one that will not have the LOB in it, one that will be safer for wideouts and tight ends, but one without the LOB. But man, that was fun while it lasted. That was fun while it lasted. The LOB is dead. Long live the LOB. LOB! Dead. D D-E-A-D, dead, done. Seahawk fan, hey, you 12s, where you at? It's over. It is over. It's never going to be like that ever again. But they're doing the right thing. They're doing what they have to do. And now it's just a matter of finding out who's next. Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, all the above. You still have Russ. And now you'll try and do what Bill Belichick does. Take a great quarterback and try and build around him with anonymous pieces and hope that having a good quarterback's enough. Yeah, it would be, except you had that quarterback and you had all these other pieces and it wasn't enough. 1-800-636-8686. That said, I see why they're doing what they're doing. 12s, now what? Willie Taggart is my guest. Willie, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Jim, how are you?
Coach, I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. And I've got to ask, it's been just over 3 months since you were named head coach at Florida State. What have the last few months of your life been like?
Work, and more work. It's been fun. You know, just, again, I think all challenges are fun as you try to work through them. But it's been good putting the staff together and putting the recruiting class together and probably one of the most important things is getting to know our current guys that's here. It's been really nice getting to know them and seeing how these young men are working and doing the things we ask them to do. It's been pretty cool.
So I know you're right in the middle of this thing, but let me ask you one thing about the process and the decision you made, because you had such a great thing going in Oregon, mm-hmm. and I know that's not a place that you were necessarily looking to leave, but at the same time, as somebody who grew up playing at Manatee High during the Seminoles' heyday, when Florida State calls, what is that feeling like?
For me personally, it was awesome, you know, because, again, it's been a dream of mine to be the head football coach at Florida State, and not in a million years I thought it would happen this soon, you know, and the good Lord just works in mysterious ways. You know, I think this thing called life has have a crazy way of putting us where we're supposed to be and a strange way of getting us there, and kind of what we went through, you know. And but it was tough because of all the great people that we met out in Oregon and all the great players. Had a young team that was improving each and every week and getting better, and a quarterback that I think is the best one in the country. And then my boss, Rob Mullen, former boss, he was gave me an opportunity to come there and be the coach at Oregon. You know, so it was tough to tell him no tell him I was going somewhere else after 1 year. So that was really hard. It's really tough, especially because of the relationship and so many good people that you met, you know. But it was one of those decisions that I had to make and really make what was best for me and my family, and I thought this was what was best.
Florida State head coach Willie Taggart, my guest. I'm glad you mentioned family. I know it was not an easy decision, but even at one point in the process, your son Willie Jr. spoke to you about chasing dreams. For those who don't know, how old is Willie Jr., and then what was that message to you?
He's 16 years old, sophomore in school, and it was it was a proud moment as a father, you know, because we really hadn't really sat down and talked that in depth about things or so serious, and my wife and I was really discussing the pros and cons in our room, and I guess I had been acting weird the last couple of days, and he came in and he's like, Dad, I know this decision is tough on you. He said, I know Florida State's your dream job. You've been having me doing the war chant since I was 3 years old. And you always told me to chase my dreams and never let anyone get in the way of it. And he said, don't get me wrong, Dad. I don't want to leave. But if you going to Florida State is going to allow you to fulfill your dreams, then I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to be there to support you. And we'll go get it done there. And it was just one of those moments where you just grab him and hug him and like, man, this is big time. A little man growing up, you know, it's kind of like he was talking to the son and out the son listening to my father talk, you know. But it was great to just know that he's listening to everything that you've been teaching him as he's growing up. And then I thought about it, like, you know, I've been preaching that to him all his life, and why wouldn't I live up to something I've been preaching?
The message took. Clones, let me get at you about our new Jungle partner, Burrow Furniture. Today's Daily Jungle is brought to you by Burrow. Handcrafted in the USA, Burrow makes luxury couches for real life. Burrow is the same quality that you would expect from high-end retailers without breaking the bank. Plus, everything is customizable. Pick your size, color, and armrest height to get the couch that's perfect for you. And there's a built-in USB charger for when your devices are in the red. Say goodbye to that extra long charge cord. Enjoy 30 days of naps on your Burrow risk-free. And if for any reason you choose not to keep it, the return process is simple. Go try a Burrow couch for yourself. Order today. It will ship in a jiffy. Use the promo code Rome at burrow.com and get $50 off your order. That's burrow.com. Offer code Rome in all caps. Once again, burrow.com. Offer code Rome. Make sure it's in all caps. That's Burrow Furniture. And now it's back to our Daily Jungle. Willie Taggart joining us. See, coming to a situation, Willie, where it's a Florida State team that's coming off a 7-6 season, which, of course, is very un-Florida State-like. Mm-hmm. As you look at the state of the program, what kind of thoughts do you have? In other words, does it feel like a rebuild, a total rebuild, or something that could be turned around pretty quickly?
No, I don't consider it a rebuild. I consider it just a realignment. You know, we have some really good football players on this football team that's won a lot of ball games. They know how to win. You know, we just got to change our attitudes and get back to doing the things that it took to win. And I think one of the biggest things is getting back to playing for one another and caring for one another and holding each other accountable, whether it's on the football field or off the football field. And if we can do a good job of that, talent-wise, we have some talent here to get things done. But, again, we all know if you don't prepare the way you want to and be strong as a football team, and the talent's not going to even matter, you know. So we just got to come together as coaches and players and get back and try to live up to the standards of Florida State football. And I think it can happen quick.
Well, you and I have talked about that in the past. For instance, when you went to Oregon, you were watching film of the team from the year before, and you saw some things that concerned you about that. In other words, players caring for each other, battling for each other. Mm-hmm. Another one of your mantras is do something. Do something. Mm-hmm. Do you get the sense that that is taking root with your players right now, that whole sense of do something?
It is, you know, because we all, I mean, all of them, when they came out of high school, they thought they were the best thing since sliced bread. And all you got to do is turn on the film. It'll allow them, make them realize, again, you're not as good as you thought you were. At least you're not performing that way, you know. So, again, if we want to be champions and we want to win the ACC and be in the playoff and we want to do all these things that we aspire to do, we got to go out and do something to make it happen. And they got to do something in the classroom and on the football field and in our community.
Willie Taggart joining us. Listen, you're known for your offense, but at the same time, the great Seminole teams that you grew up loving had serious defenses as well. As you said, quote, we were a bunch of badasses back in the days. We were a bunch of war daddies. How do you get that defense back to where it needs to be?
Well, I think you got to recruit those kind of guys first. Mm. You know, you either a war daddy or a badass or you're not. You know, so we got to recruit those kind of guys here to Florida State, you know, and allow them to go out and perform the way that they know how, and the way that we're going to have a culture and the standard of playing football. You know, I know one of the things I'm going to do is make sure they understand our tradition, make sure they understand those teams that we talked about, you know, and how they played. And show them some examples of what they're doing, and this is what we call Florida State football, and we'd like to get back to.
Listen, there's no way I have you on this show and not touch on my favorite phrase of yours, and that's, have a great day if you want to. I probably shouldn't have to ask, Willie, but are you having a great day, and what's your message in that for those who don't know it?
Well, I'm always having a great day, and with that is all attitude. You know, it's a mindset when you get up in the morning on what kind of day you want to have. You can allow someone to mess it up for you, or you can have a positive attitude about things and go about it, go about your day that way. But I think you start the time you get up in the morning is what kind of attitude you have, and if you have a good attitude, chances are you're gonna have a good day. You won't allow anything else to spoil your day. So try to have that attitude every single day, and it came from a coach when I was at Western Kentucky, an old ball coach, really good ball coach, named Butch Gibbert. And he used to come out to practice, watch us practice. And before he left practice, he said, "Hey, coach, have yourself one of these." And he'll give me one of those butterscotch candies. You remember those, Jim?
Sure, you know it.
Yeah, those butterscotch. And he'll say, "Have a great day if you want to." And that just stuck with me. I was like, you know what? He's right. We have a choice. What kind of day we have, it's all a choice. And that's what I choose to do. And I want everyone around us to choose to have a great day if they want to.
Every single day, Florida State
Every
coming off
day.
That 7-6 season, but they open up against Virginia Tech. Willie Taggart gets the dream job. Willie, I know you're going to have a great day. It's great to have you back on the program. I love that reminder, and it's always good to talk some ball with you, Willie. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Jim, and you have a great day if you want to, buddy.
You know, I think I do want to, Willie. I think I do want to. In fact, I will have a great day. Let's take a moment and talk about DeMar DeRozan and the game he had last night. 42-4-6, and that was in an overtime win at Detroit. But there was no finer moment in that game, maybe in the entire Raptor season, than the final seconds of regulation. 10.1 seconds on the clock, Blake Griffin hits a foul shot to give Detroit a one-point lead. A must-win game for the Pistons. And then this happened. And by this happened, what I really mean is DeMar DeRozan happened.
112-111, DeRozan drives all the way up, jams it down! DeRozan jams it down and he's fouled! Are you kidding me? DeMar DeRozan puts the carpet down going wall to wall, rams it down, and is fouled.
Credit Raptors Radio for that. Coast to coast for a dunk. And one. And again, this is not coast to coast off a rebound, or a steal, or a loose ball. That's an inbounds pass. That means all five guys in Pistons gear had a chance to get back and take a stand, make a play, and they still never stood a chance. Have you seen this? Exactly where was Blake Griffin going on that play? I know where he wasn't going, to try to stop DeMar DeRozan. I mean, Blake, really? What are you doing? He'll take on the equipment manager who is half his size, but there's no way he's going to stand in front of DeMar DeRozan with an important game on the line. Hey, Blake, do something. Do something. Hell, somebody, anybody, do something. Do anything. Someone needs to call someone.
Someone call someone.
Full praise and respect to Anthony Tolliver for at least being willing to try to stop DeMar, even though he knew how that was going to end, with him on a poster and DeMar on the line. DeMar just slices right through the Pistons' defense, and he cuts himself on the rim, and he still made the and one. And my biggest question of all, how does Stan Van Gundy, of all people, just stand there and watch that play unfold and not immediately take a flamethrower to that place? He had to be screaming, up, 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 at every Pistons player who was running back, back, back. And then when he looks at it later on, trust me, he's going to throw up, 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 up. Hey-o! Although credit to SVG, he calls a timeout, and instead of punching every single one of his guys in the face, he draws up a play, he gets Griffin a look to tie it, and they send that game into overtime, where of course they lost eventually. Credit for not completely folding after DeMar completely humiliated every last one of them. But that's about it. That's about all you get credit for. And you can tell after the game that SVG was not especially pleased. He said, quote, "We didn't do what we were supposed to do. I'm not going any further than that. I'm not going to throw somebody under the bus. But we didn't do what we were supposed to do," end quote. Since when is Stan Van Gundy not going to run somebody under the bus? Since when is Stan Van Gundy not going to tell you exactly what he thinks? Since when is he not going to point the finger at somebody, even one of his own guys, especially one of his own guys? Since when, SVG? If not then when? This guy went coast to coast off an inbounds pass with no resistance whatsoever. Go ahead and run somebody under the bus. Push the entire team under the bus. Back over them a few times. But then again, him not doing so is actually worse than having a coach like that break a clipboard, punch the blackboard, or scream at you. It's like when you're a kid and you screw up in a huge, huge way, and dad's there, or your teacher's there, and they're just really disappointed. Like, they're not mad. They're just really disappointed. So they're really calm. But you know what that means? You're in big trouble. That's when you know that you're not just in trouble, but you're in serious trouble. I know this. SVG is not going to be handing out any attaboys or pats on the back when he gets that team together for film session. I'm guessing Stan Van Gundy is going to sound something like the old Dwight Howard impression of Stan Van Gundy.
Run! Go! Move! What are you guys doing? Dwight, you got to catch the ball with two hands.
Isn't that amazing? That's when Dwight was cool. That's when Dwight was funny. That's when we all liked Dwight. That was Dwight. Big Dwight Howard on this show doing his Stan Van Gundy.
You know, guys, I'm happy we won the game, but you guys got to play defense. I mean, we're trying to get ready for the playoffs. You know, Dwight, you got to rebound, you got to run, and you got to move. And Vince, come on.
It's pretty good. That was Dwight on this show way, way, way back in the day. You got to get back.
Run.
Blake, run.
Run, go, move.
Blake, do to him what you did to that equipment manager.
You know, guys.
Come on, Blake.
Run.
You see Blake bail, but he knew. He didn't want to end up on a poster. He didn't want to go viral. That's what he had Tolliver for. Man, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. Van Gundy's ears had to have smoke coming out of him after the game. It's got to grind his gears. Horrible moment for the Pistons at a time when they could least afford to have it. And then it nearly happened again in overtime, except instead of DeMar going to the rack, he kicked it out to Fred VanVleet for the game winner.
8 seconds, runs it front court into the lane. VanVleet for the win.
Good! Down the bottom of the well.
Raptors win. They clinch a playoff spot. They're playing great ball. Pistons lose. They clinch probably the most miserable film session ever. Ever. How does that happen in your own house, in a game you have to have, at the end of the game when you've got a lead?
Run! Go!
Move! Dwight was just getting started. But you know how long ago this was? That A, he was on the show. B, he was loose enough and comfortable enough not only to do an impression of his head coach, but also of Arnold.
Everybody get down. Do it now. Get any chopper. Do it now. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get down.
So he did SVG. He did Arnold. And he did Chuck.
Jim Rome, I'm sitting here with Ernie, EJ. I just want to tell you, LeBron James is the best player to play NBA Jams. He's not even on the game. I love LeBron James. Anyway, I'm going to get a phone back to Dwight. I just wanted to tell you that. Peace.
It's good, right? You forget how good he was back in the day when he was a great player and a funny guy. Kemba Walker had just won a game, and he touched on that too.
Could you see where somebody might cry during the regular season?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim Rome. Kemba Walker just won the game.
That was incredible.
Oh, wow. He made a fall.
In other words, the guy admitted to playing a video game while he was doing the interview.
I think people have just an image of all basketball players. And, you know, I just try to change that and let them know that, you know, we're human beings too. You know, we sit around the house and we listen to music. We have fun. Like right now, I don't think people notice, but I'm actually playing Super Nintendo NBA Jams right now.
Yeah, how you doing with that?
Actually, I'm coming back. I got the Houston Rockets. It's 59 seconds left. Maxwell just hit a three to put me back in the game. So,
did you tell me Vernon Maxwell just got you back in the game and you're conducting this interview with me at the same time?
Yeah.
Can you imagine something like that happening right now? Hey, Alvin, do you even have a year on that? That goes way back. How long ago must that have been that Dwight Howard's not only on the show, but just cracking wise, playing video games while he's talking to me, breaking out his best impressions? 2010. Shaquem Griffin is my guest. Shaquem, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back, and thank you for having me again.
My man, it's so good to have you back on. I got to ask you, take me back a little bit. Before the combine, before you lit the combine on fire, Shaquem, to the start of the offseason, when the combine invitations went out and you did not get one, What were you feeling like at that point?
I mean, my whole thing was, you know, trying to make sure I did whatever it took for me to make sure I can get to the combine and make sure that I did everything that, you know, what involves me getting right, getting the training. I mean, my brother went through the same process when he was there. And so I had to be able to make sure I took not only tips from him, but make sure that I was able to remember it once I got to the training part of it. But, I mean, I think the most thing for me was, you know, being blessed to have an opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl that led me to the opportunity for me to get the invite to the combine. Because at first I wasn't invited. I didn't get the chance to be invited, you know, after the season. And I remember I flew out from the Peach Bowl and was hoping that I got invited, but I wasn't. So I had to make sure I had to go to work and make sure I did whatever it took for me to get my invite.
Shaquem Griffin joining us. You know, I figured that'd be your response. Having watched you play in college and having had you out on the show several times before, I knew that when you did get the invite that you would show up in a very big way. But every prospect who shows up to the combine has got to be feeling some sort of nerve or excitement of some kind. What were you feeling when you arrived at the combine?
I mean, I felt good. I mean, I felt excited. I mean, it's crazy when you have somebody who already been there. So they were telling you what you was going to go through before you got there. So I was already expecting the long hospital days. I was expecting the long days from that the combine gives you. So I was already making sure that, you know, not only knowing, you know, that the long days that was going to be ahead of me, but make sure I was enjoying every single moment. And my brother told me, make sure that when you leave this, make sure you don't have that experience where I feel like it was so long that I didn't enjoy it. Make sure you were able to bring something back from it. And I can feel like I brought every single moment back. I mean, I can remember everything. I enjoy every single moment. I enjoy every single interview. And then me just put on a show for everybody was something that I expected, and I was ready for me to show everybody.
Shaquem Griffin, my guest. All right, so I'm glad that you remember every single moment, because I want to ask you about when you lit the internet on fire with that performance on the bench press. You put up 225 20 times. What do you remember about that session on the bench? What was that like?
I mean, literally, as soon as I walked up, they gave me the mic and, like, say your name in school. So when I said my name in school, the crowd went crazy. So literally, they was giving me the feeling, the energy that I needed for me to get on that bench and bench press my butt off. And I felt it. I mean, even a spotter, he was like, I need everything you got. And I was like, yeah, you finna get it, you know. And I was just excited. And having the energy from the crowd was amazing. And they were saying, like, you know, they used to have a crowd all the time, but it was nothing like this. So it was something that was different off from the get-go. And I was excited for me to put on so many reps, and it felt amazing. I felt the energy. I felt like I wasn't the only one who was up there lifting. And, I mean, I enjoy every single rep up.
Shaquem Griffin joining us. You said coming in your goal was 6. Your best previously had been 11, and then you bust out 20. So what did that feel like to not only get to 20 but to beat your brother by 3 reps?
I mean, it felt good. I mean, you know me and my brother, it's a competition no matter what we do.
Right.
And he was always saying, like, you got to be able to come get me in every single event. Oh, and that was the plan. That was the exact plan for me to come get him in every single event I did, and that's what I was there to do. You know, everybody had their own personal numbers of what they wanted and what they wanted to achieve, but I knew my number was high because I know what my brother did, and then I set my expectation higher than most because I knew what I wanted to accomplish, and it started right with the bench, and so when I got out of the way, I knew what was next.
You know, then we're talking about what's next, because as soon as you got that out of the way, that was spectacular in and of itself. But then you still have to run the 40. You had talked to Pete Carroll, and you asked Pete Carroll what he thought would be a fast time in the 40. What was his response to you?
I mean, the first response where, you know, he knew that I was fast. He could see it on the game film. But I had to ask him a question, like, what do you think was fast? And then he said, what's fast for a linebacker? It was like, you know, 4.6, 4.5. And I had to re-ask the question. I said, what do you think is fast? Not for a linebacker, but what do you think is fast? And that's when I got the time, like 4.5, 4.4. And I was telling him, I said, look, I'm going for my brother. He said, 4.3 is fast. He said, just watch out, because I got something for you tomorrow. And then you can see, I seen a little video clip of when I ran a 4.3, his reaction, because I know immediately he knew, like, man, he literally just told me this yesterday that I was going for my brother. And I ended up tying him. I mean, I don't think it'll get no better than that.
You know, it does not get any better than that. In fact, it's never been that good. 4.38 was the fastest 40 by a linebacker since they started keeping track of that thing. So it does not get any better than that, except maybe on this level. Because after what you did over the weekend, guys like J.J. Watt, Antonio Brown, Von Miller were hyping you on Twitter. Miller's talked about how he wants to play with you because of your talent and your heart from when he watched you in the bowl game and at the Senior Bowl. What's it mean to hear that kind of love from NFL stars like that?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it feels good to have stars like that actually, you know, watching in and know who I am and seeing what I've been through and what I'm able to accomplish. And you know, be honored to say that guys like that want to be a part of what I want to do. And, I mean, it feels so good that they'd be honored because, you know, there's so many guys who would love to be in the position I'm in and be praised by amazing athletes like that. And I'm just glad that I'm that guy who's able to witness that and be able to, you know, showcase my talents the best way I can and have those outside looking in support me like how they do. And, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, literally watching tweets and seeing it, I was screenshotting my butt off. Like, man, look at this. Look at him. He tweeted me. I mean, literally, I was like a kid in the candy store.
Dude, you're the best. You're the best, Shaquem. And it's such an amazing story, and you are so positive and so upbeat. But let's not forget, man, this is really, really difficult. You wrote this amazing piece for the Players Tribune earlier this month, and in it you wrote about your love of football, going back to when you were just 8, and you sleep in your jersey the night before games, but you also told a really painful story about an opposing coach who tried to prevent you from playing. It's a story that everybody should read, but what do you remember when you were that young and being told that he didn't want you to play in that game?
I mean, for me, being at a young age and having to hear that from an adult, and I think I wouldn't wish that on any kid because, you know, when you hear a coach tell a kid that, you know, this game is for a two-handed player and not one-handed player, I mean, it kind of gets to you. And for me, I was able to withstand the negativity that he was putting upon me. And like, you know what? One thing I can do is show him what I actually can do. Just like I've been doing my entire life. And it's crazy because even when the opposing team weighed the team in, he said I was overweight. So he didn't want to give me the chance to even play. And then my coach had to weigh me back in, say that I made weight, and then that's when we figured out why that the coach did that. And I ended up getting my first interception to win the game. That's my first career interception in the Little League. And we ended up winning the game and go to the playoffs. And I knew that was going to be the start of what I had to do with them to make sure I can show everybody what I actually can do. Because you said it's not for a one-handed player game. It's only for two-handed players. So let me show you that if I get an interception in the game, you know, now is the reason why you're not going to the playoffs, and we are.
So, Shaquem, what about right now? I mean, that was then. You made your point. Even as a youngster, you made your point. Even at that young age. But still, you don't get the invite to the combine. I mean, as I mentioned, you're so positive. Is there any part of you now that wants to say, all right, now what? How do all of you like me now? How do you like me now?
Oh, yeah, man. I definitely feel that way because, you know, me going through so much and me being able to put everything I got, I mean, I'm telling you, I put everything I have and everything I do, and I want to build a team to not see me as a feel-good story. I want a team to see me as this guy. He can put up numbers. He can play ball. He can run fast. He can do whatever he put his mind to. I want people to see me as a football player and not a guy who has one hand who can play football. I want you to see me as Shaquem Griffin, the football player from UCF. And no matter what the expectations are, no matter what I need to do for me to show that, I'm willing to do so. No matter if it's going to the combine, doing what I have to do, no matter if it's me going on to a team and being at the rookie mini camp and being able to show them what I actually can do. I mean, it, no matter what it takes, I'm willing to show each and every team that I'm not a guy who's just going here to play football. That I'm Shaquem Griffin who can play football. And that's my message. That's what I want to be able to give to each and every team who give me the opportunity to be there.
Shaquem Griffin joining us. You are Shaquem Griffin. Now, your brother doesn't like it when you're called Shaq because he wants that name for himself. That said, if you beat him at the combine, do you feel like you get to pick who keeps the Shaq nickname?
Oh, yeah. I think I was able to do that this past weekend because now that everybody calls him Shaq, my brother don't have no problem with it. So I think the numbers I put up, you know, he got no choice but to respect it. And then I told him that he was only like 178 soaking wet. So he telling me, I'm a big guy who can run with you. So, you know, I had to put a little bragging rights in it. So it's always good when you can brag to your twin about, you know, numbers you put up. So I say, look, we can both be Shaq or I can be Shaq and you can be Shaq 2.0. So you got to choose.
That's great. That's great. How much have you let him know about the fact that you tied him in the 40, but you beat him in the bench press?
I mean, that's the only put me one step ahead. I mean, now I'm bigger, I'm stronger, and then you can't outrun me. So if you ever want to get mad at me or, you know, want to do something that I'm not going to like, I'm going to chase you down, and I'm going to overpower you because I'm just that much bigger and stronger.
Bigger, stronger, and just as fast. Listen, before you go, Mike Mayock from the NFL Network has talked to you talked about you being an energy giver. That's the quote, that you make everybody around you better. How would you describe your attitude and your energy when it comes to being a leader in that locker room?
I mean, for me, I always give a reason why that we play football. Not because of what we want to accomplish, but you know what? Everybody play football because we love it. No one just want to play football and say, you know what, I'm doing it just for me to make money. No, it's the reason why you started playing football. And that's why I want to bring back to the locker room. And that's what I want to bring to my team. That's what I did this past season with UCF was, you know what, stop worrying about, you know, your stats. Stop worrying about what's going to be good for yourself. Let's worry about what it's going to take to win and why we want to win, because the feeling that we have when you win is no better feeling. But you got to put in the work, and, you know, I'm never going to be that guy who's going to be, you know, satisfied or complacent with where you're at, because it's always better to do things and do better and win, because no one likes to lose. And trust me, I had a season where I lost a lot, and I was able to get that to my teammates where, you know what, I don't want to try to have that feeling, so this is what it's going to take for us to win and get ball games. You know, if I can work hard, if I'm going to get everything I got to the point where I'm throwing up every single practice, there's no reason why you can't. If I'm hustling to the ball, if I'm passing you running to the ball, I mean, somebody's just loafing or somebody's not giving it their all, and it's going to take our all for us to win football games. And that's the energy that I bring not only to the practice field, but to the game and to everything we're doing when it comes to us getting better as a team.
You know, if I'm a team and I'm hearing this right now, I'm really happy about what I'm hearing. You had some informal interviews, but the one formal interview was with Seattle, right? What was that conversation like?
I mean, I enjoy every single moment of that interview with Seattle. I mean, I was blessed to have the former interview with them, and it was the only team that gave me the chance to have the former interview. So, I mean, I had fun. I enjoyed it. We talked about a lot of football. Obviously, I love football. And not only that, but we talked about life. We talked about my brother. We talked about, you know, the experience they had. I mean, it was a heartfelt conversation, and I enjoyed every single moment of that with Seattle.
Shakeem, I feel like you enjoyed every single moment at the Combine. The Combine is a grind. Those are really, really long days. It's challenging physically. It's challenging mentally. I'm listening to you. It seems like you enjoyed everything about that. Is there anything about that that you didn't enjoy?
I mean, I'm going to have to really look at him and really be, you know, real observant. But every single moment, I can imagine a moment I didn't enjoy. Like, I was so happy and blessed to be there. That it was no reason for me to not be happy about being there. Literally, it was one day where we had to do our physicals and everything, and we were there for like 3-4 hours. But I was happy every time I walked around. I was smiling. I was enjoying having a conversation with people I didn't even know. It was just because I knew how it felt for me not to have an opportunity to be there at first. And when I got an invite, I knew how happy I was to get the invite. So there was no reason for me to go there and not be happy to be there. And I was wishing I could put my energy on everybody else, because you got a lot of guys who wasn't enjoying the moments that they had. And when you're not enjoying the moments, that's the moments that you're going to forget. And I didn't want to forget not one moment being at that Combine.
Shakeem Griffin joining us. He's an All-American, an American Athletic Conference Defensive Player of the Year, a first-team All-Conference player, the star of the Combine. Shakeem, so good to have you on. I always enjoyed the conversations prior to this, but to see you show up and show out the way you did at the Combine, I couldn't wait to talk to you about it, and great to have you back on. Thanks so much.
Man, thank you. And thank you again for having me. It felt good to be back.
So you want that take on the Royals and porn. I can give you what you want, and you're going to be disappointed. Now, in this case, it will be good for the program because you probably need to hear it, but it's not what you want. I'll give you what you want, except it's not what you think it is. So yeah, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you that take, but you're going to be disappointed when you hear it. So the Royals made some history over the weekend. And they did so by doing something in baseball that had never been done before. And I've made that point also before. When a sport's been around for like 10,000 years and something is done for the first time ever, it means somebody did something nearly impossible. Something that has never been done before. How is there anything left in baseball that hasn't been done before? Kansas City managed to find something. Over the weekend, they became the first Major League Baseball team, you guessed it, by now you know, to host an anti-porn workshop. You can imagine all the things that teams do in spring training. All the fundamentals they go over. Covering first base. Situational baseball. Moving runners over. Having an anti-porn workshop. 29 other teams were working on all those other things. And the Royals were working on resisting the urge to crack open their lapper and watch porn. The advocacy group that gave the seminar is called Fight the New Drug. And according to their website, they exist to, quote, rise up and fight the status quo, rejecting the idea that porn is healthy, normal, or cool. End quote. That is quite a quote. Look, I understand the argument about health and normalcy. But what the hell does cool have to do with anything here? I don't know too many people running around saying they watch porn because they want to be cool. Hey, do you watch porn? Oh, yeah. Why? Because I want to fit in. Because I want to be one of the cool kids. Or the peer pressure. Yeah, I have to watch porn, man. My whole crew does. Everybody does. I don't want to not fit in. I don't want them to not like me. I'm trying to be cool here. Yeah, I don't know anybody running around saying that they even... they saying it to be cool. Do you know anybody running around who's even admitting that they watch porn? Usually people don't talk about it. Usually people don't admit it. Because it's porn. Now, that said, and notice what I'm doing with this. I'm not here to judge. I am not here to judge. How the Royals run their business is just that. Their business. Whether that's watching porn or holding seminars to encourage people not to watch porn, that's neither here nor there for me. I am not here to shout down porn from some moral high ground. Just as I'm not here to fight the 818's battle for it. Where you come out on the dangers or lack of danger for porn is up to you. I'm not taking a side here. I'm just saying that it's important enough to the Royals and their business to bring in some outside help. You know, on one hand, I can see that too. You've got 25 plus dudes in that clubhouse who hit the road 3 months out of the year. They stay in nice places with complimentary Wi-Fi. They've got to make some late night choices. Baseball is a numbers game. The numbers would suggest there probably are a few dudes on that squad who might have an issue with porn. In fact, there's probably a few dudes on every squad that may have an issue with porn. In fact, the numbers might suggest that every business in every industry may have an issue with addiction. Addiction in every walk of life. I mean, if you had an issue with alcohol or drugs, wouldn't you hope that your employer would be there to provide some assistance? Well, maybe the Royals are just there for their employees. Now, I admit, it sounds a little bizarre because the Royals are the first team to do it. But again, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge. I am not here to check your browser history, your life, your time, your choice. And what the Royals do with their business is just that, their business. So I don't have an issue with them having their players sit in on this seminar. And if you clones want to talk about this, you can. If you want to react to it responsibly, you can. But if you're going to do it, you had best come in with something better than, hey, Rome, they're concerned that some of their guys might have a sex addiction. Maybe I should attend as well, Rome, because I'm addicted to sex. In fact, Rome, everybody I know is addicted. It's sex. Don't send me that. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to talk about that. Don't send me that. Again, it seems a little unusual because no other MLB team has done it, but maybe somebody should have earlier. I have no issue with this. And if you're looking for me to blow them up for it or to bust out with an 8 for 8 for life take, baby, you're going to be disappointed. You're barking up the wrong tree. How about this? You do you, they do them, we all keep moving, and we treat this story with the respect and the responsibility that it deserves. Can we have that conversation? If we can have that conversation, great. But I know a lot of you clones, and I know you can't. So let's do our very best to try and treat this with responsibility. I mean, it seems unusual. It is different. I'll give you that. But I think it's pretty interesting. Other teams are working on situational hitting, base running, fundamentals, and they took time out of their game for an advocacy group to come in and talk about the dangers of porn. Let's see. Stucknut. He tweets, perhaps the players on the Royals were just emailing their brother. Signed, Carlos Zambrano.
Brother.
You knew that was coming in. Yeah, one time he was viewing porn on his lapper, but insisted, no, I'm not doing that. That's not what that is. I was just, quote, emailing my brother. All right, we'll take a short time out. Again, we can have this conversation if you can do it responsibly. This tweet. At Sharky. Wow. So after all these years, it turns out Jay Stu was cool. Yours, Kansas City Royals fans. Jay Stu was the longtime talent booker for this show. Worked on the show. Screened out the calls. Booked the guests. And there was a story about Jay Stu when he attended Cal State Fullerton. That he was in a dorm room watching porn with 10 other dudes. Elliot in the OC, way back in the day, called in and gave up Jay Stu.
I just put two and two together that Jason Stewart is Jason from Fullerton, the old caller. I go out with a buddy of mine, my JV coach at the time, who went to Fullerton, and he's a buddy of Jason's and a couple of his friends. We go over to this house on a Friday night, and Jason and about 10 guys are sitting in a room watching porno, and he's bragging about how he's this caller on your show. And I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out looking for chicks, and they're watching porno with guys.
I forgot how classic that line was. I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out, quote, 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 quote. We're going out looking for chicks. And they're in a room watching porno with guys.
With guys.
With guys. Any idea when that call came through, Alvy? Is there even a date on that call? Anyway, yeah, I knew I probably should not have even broached the subject. I just thought it was very unusual and very different and something that we could talk about. But I obviously was wrong. When we come back, we will move on to the next thing. Look, some of my takes work. Some of them don't. Some of my takes are lava. Some aren't. Sometimes I have a great idea. Sometimes I don't. Right there, probably not. It's fine. Takes for days. Takes for days. We'll come back one more. Stay tuned. I've got Shaq Griffin coming up sometime next hour. I'm still looking for a time for him, but we'll have him in hour number three. Still ahead, your telephone calls. But first, here is a sports update. Rich Ackerman, your turn. Matt McMahon is my guest. Matt, nice to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on. Doing well.
Good, good. Great to talk to you, Matt. So let me ask you, you beat Belmont on Saturday. You clinched the OVC championship. You become the first team in the NCAA tournament, and you closed that game out with a 16-3 run in the final 7 minutes. So how proud were you of the way your guys stepped up and delivered when it mattered most?
They've been awesome all year long, so extremely proud of them. It was really our best defensive effort of the season. And as you said it best, it was when we needed it the most, and our guys really stepped forward and delivered with all the money on the line right there in the finals.
You know, I'm going to talk to you about a few of those guys in a moment, but it's no secret. The college basketball season, Matt, is a grind, and when you're a mid-major, you know the only surefire way to get in is to win your conference tournament. So how much pressure were you feeling during the tournament knowing what was at stake?
Well, Jim, the interesting thing for us is we've been in tournament mode for a long time. We were at 5-2 in league play, and for us to have a chance to win the regular season championship, we knew we'd have to run the table. And so our guys stepped forward, went 11-0 down the stretch to win the regular season. We had to do it in crazy fashion at Austin Peay on the final night. We had come back from 14 down. I'd outscored them by 23 points when a tornado came through and lightning struck the arena and opened up a hole in the roof. So we had about a 3.5-hour delay before we were able to come back and finish the game and celebrate our regular season championship at 1:30 in the morning there. And then our guys just carried that momentum on into the tournament and really just stayed focused on the task at hand and got the job done.
You've got that momentum, too. You've won 13 in a row. That is the nation's longest winning streak. So you're playing your best when it matters most. Let me ask you about Jonathan Stark. Matt, he had 24 in the win. He has been such a force for you since he joined the program from Tulane. What is it that makes him and his game, what makes him so unique?
Well, he's one of the best players in all of college basketball, but his work ethic. Jimmy's in this practice facility 3 times a day. Just lives in here. Has worked incredibly hard. His stats are off the charts, you know, facing double teams and face guarding and everything you could imagine. and averaged over 25 a game through our 18-game league schedule. But he's just a winner. Doesn't say a whole lot, but he just works, and he's all business on that court, and he's done an unbelievable job leading our team.
Matt, what about John Morant? He had a big game for you as well, and he's a player who kind of flew under the radar when it came to recruiting. How did the program first find out about him, and then what was the recruiting process like for that player?
Well, he's special. He's a 6'4 point guard and has an unbelievable feel for the game, but we were fortunate to see him in July. We had heard about him, and when we saw him, we just knew he had those special attributes. I've been really fortunate to have some great point guards come through here. Thought he could be the next one in line. And then it came down to really us in South Carolina. And I think he just saw the success of point guards here. He really fell in love with the fan base and the unbelievable support that we get here at Murray State. And we're really thankful that he chose the Racers because he is an elite, elite player.
Murray State head basketball coach Matt McMahon, my guest. You know, Matt, you've got a reputation for being an excellent recruiter, and Murray State has developed a reputation as a mid-major force. So what's your message when you're out on the recruiting trail and trying to get potential Racers?
Well, recruiting's pretty simple here. It sells itself. You have an unbelievable tradition, 25 regular season championships, 16 NCAA tournaments, NBA players like Isaiah Cannon, Popeye Jones, Cameron Payne. And when a recruit comes on campus here and they see how much support and how much the basketball program means to the community and the campus of Murray, Kentucky, it's a real easy sell. And then we try and put, to go along with that, a fun style of play. We get up and down. We shoot a lot of threes. We have good balance offensively and defensively. It's been a really fun team. Not only because we've won games, but because these guys are a lot of fun to watch.
You know, while you have that tradition, it is the team's or the program's first trip to the NCAA tournament since 2012. But that team beat Colorado State and advanced. The 2010 team beat Vanderbilt, but lost to Butler by just a basket. So there is that tradition for Murray State. When they get into the tourney, they make some noise in the tourney. How do you go about making sure that these guys are not just happy to be there, but they're focused on winning and advancing once they do get there?
Well, it's been the strength of our team all season long. We have winners. They want to win. That I think you said it best. We're trying to find that right balance. I want them to enjoy this, what they've accomplished, enjoy this experience, but I also want them to continue to have that same urgency and purpose that has enabled us to win games because we don't want to just show up next week just for the heck of it. We want to go in and try and win games. So I think the common theme, when you look at those 2010, 2012, now 2018 teams, is elite backcourt play and a bunch of tough guys who are committed to the team and committed to winning. So we certainly have that formula and really excited about the opportunity next week.
So, Matt, you've got a few days between now and Selection Sunday. Do you have any predictions, any hunches as to where you might be seated and where you might be sent?
Well, I would look at it. I hope we could work our way up to a 12. I'd say we're at a 13 right now. We're a top 50 RPI team. We're one of the 10 teams in all of college basketball that have won double-digit road games this season. And we have, you mentioned, the 13-game winning streak. So we hope to be in that 12-13 range. And for us, we'll go, obviously, wherever they send us, but the closer the better because the Racer fans really like to travel and follow their team, and I hope we'll be at a distance where they can come and give us another great atmosphere like they did at the conference tournament last weekend.
Murray State head coach Matt McMahon joining us. Now, Matt, rumor has it you're a big Ric Flair guy. What do you like about the Nature Boy, and how did you first get into wrestling?
I've been a wrestling fan as long as I can remember, but you know, how can you not love Ric Flair, one of the greatest speakers of our generation? So he's just pure entertainment. We've had a good time with it, and he always said that to be the man, you got to beat the man, and that's something our guys have really had a good time with, and we even had the championship belt out this weekend, so we want to have fun too. Obviously, college basketball, a lot of hard work. These guys have worked extremely hard, but I want them to enjoy it too and have some fun on the side as we go along.
TV guys nailed that. They showed video of the belt right as you referenced the belt. Pretty much everybody who's a Ric Flair fan has got their own version of the Ric Flair woo. Do you have one, and is there any chance you bust it out right now?
Yeah, we're always ready to fire off a Ric Flair woo. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
And I appreciate you doing it. One last thought. It's your third season as the team's head coach, but of course you've been an assistant there under Steve Prohm. When the opportunity came up, Matt, to return as the head coach, what was your reaction?
Well, I was shocked at first. I had no idea that the Iowa State thing was in the works for Coach Prohm. I had just had a great opportunity where my college roommate, I was a graduate assistant at the University of Tennessee with Eric Conkle, and he had just taken the head job at Louisiana Tech. So I'd been there about 2.5 weeks as an assistant for him. And I was just really thankful that I got the opportunity to come back and interview for the job. And when it was really a dream come true for me, especially to get to do it at a place like Murray State. So we're my family and I are really, really thankful for the opportunity.
And they're the first team in, 26-5, 16-2 in conference play, and headed to the NCAA tournament. Now it's just a matter of where they go and where they're seated. Matt McMahon, their head coach. Matt, great to get caught up. Really nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Good luck in the tourney.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much for having us on, and go Racers.
That's it. Four down, clones. Ones to go. Finish the week strongly. I'm going to get it. You should too. Check you right back here tomorrow. I'm out.